For life.
Hey, hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? I am the microphone messiah, Philip Antwine. I am joined by Brandon Tanguma, the current Bulletcast champion, or the podcast champion, I should say, and Katie Scarlett. How are you guys doing today? Episode 301.
Hello, hello. Very excited.
I'm so excited. Just can't hide it. We're back to a regularly scheduled program. And once again, Brian's not here.
Brian is not here. He showed up for the 300th. We'll see him at episode, what, maybe 316?
What?
I see the Austin bit's only funny like when he's here, you know. I mean, not that, but like when I go off and do the, you know, growing up in Victoria Tech, when I go off and start doing that, you know.
My bit, it's a Pat McAfee Stone Cold bit, so it's like a bit of a bit, double in Inception bit,
double entendre.
Not in November.
Oh, not in November.
No one tundras in November.
Hope you gentlemen are doing all right so far. We're nine days in. Let's go.
Almost a third of the way there.
Almost a third of the way there. Some of y'all really don't got a choice, but yeah. Big news. It has been announced. AlphaZone, his first title defense for the Bulletcast Heavyweight Championship, is against Loverboy Leo. Yes. Leo made his debut earlier this year. He's been making some noise. Zoe's been in the game for about 5 or 6 years now. This is going to be nice. Brandon, what are your thoughts?
It's great. You know, as the other Bulletcast champion, I take great pride in the Bulletcast Heavyweight Championship and see who comes out on top. And it should be a fun match. You know, two friends of the podcast, as I think this Heavyweight Championship is going to be, you know, wrestlers that are associated with us, and it should be a fun time.
You never know, man. I mean, hey, I at UGWA, people were asking me like, hey, what's going on with these Bulletcast shows? I'm like, oh really? Oh, you're trying to come join the team? We'll talk some business. Katie, I know you love both gentlemen who are in this contest. You talked about it a little bit off air, but let's get it on the record. Loverboy Leo, AlphaZone, Bulletcast Heavyweight Championship. What are your thoughts?
Listen, I am in turmoil right now because when I joined the indie wrestling circuit and I became a fan and I started going to the shows, AlphaZone was the very first person who I was like, oh my gosh, I love him. I'm going to start cheering him on. I'm so excited. And then back at Toko's Kickback, I met Loverboy Leo. And we had ridiculous banter. And I was like, all right, I can hang with this fool. So I love him too. And I don't know what I'm going to do because, like, no matter what, one of them is going to be sent home in heartbreak and the other one is going to be happy and have the goal. But dude, it's drama. It's drama. I have a soap opera life.
Yes, it's a Days of Our Lives over here on the Bulletcast. So that happened. And then also Sandra Moon interview dropped. Miss Lightning in a Bottle, the Undisputed Pride Style and UGWA Heavyweight Champion. Yes, love Sandra. Finally got the interview. It's a great one. It's about 6.5 minutes. Something short, something sweet. Get in, get out, go home. Brandon, what are your thoughts on Miss Sandra Moon?
Well, of course, I did listen to the episode, to the interview, because I listened to them all. But you know, it was a good time. I know this was something that you've been hunting down for a while, Philip. I know our former champion, Lil Durst, wishes he was there, but he was not. But Yeah, you know, it was short, sweet, to the point, you know, talking about her days and, you know, ties with Impact. And you did ask the Hot Tub Time Machine question, and it stumped her. It was such a great question. She didn't know what the answer was, which means I listened to it, Philip. You think I'm just out here doing bits and just, you know, talking in circles by not even talking about the actual interview? No, I did listen to it. All right.
Okay. All right, brother.
Fogging up my glasses. Can't even see anything, even though they're not, they're gimmick glasses.
Oh,
I just wanted to be glasses. Just like you guys, because you guys have glasses.
There we go. Katie, did you actually get to hear what she said now? What are your thoughts?
I know. I was there. I helped with recording the show while we were at UGWA, but I love Sandra Moon. She's so great. She was first exposed to wrestling through indie wrestling in Vegas, where she was born and raised. Her brother wanted to start training at 17. Sandra was at 15. She was like, hey, I'll join you. And look at where she is now. She was ranked number 74 on her very first PWI Top 150 Women's Wrestlers. She was talking about how she's very accustomed to televised style wrestling. She's made appearances on AEW Dark and Impact twice, and she really wants to do more televised style matches. She's got eyes on the new West Coast Pro Championship that's going to be happening soon, I believe, right? She credits Candice LeRae and Dark Sheik as some of her favorite wrestlers. I love that she's big on, you know, cheat meal Hawaiian plate. Mm-hmm. Gotta get that.
Katie gave away the whole interview.
I know, right?
Yeah,
now
you guys don't have to go listen to the interview anymore.
You see, we don't want to do that. Just a couple tidbits, and then we
sorry,
make him go
I get
watch.
Excited.
We make him go watch it. Seriously, go check out the Sandra Moon interview. If you want to see Sandra wrestle out here again in the Bay Area, December 11th is the next UGWA show, the same day as, you know, the Bulletcast heavyweight title match in Woodland. But I'll be at both because, you know, I make towns, brother. I make towns. The loop, as Levi Shapiro would say. Yep. Oh, yeah. All right. Moving on from that, outside the ring, so Ric Flair was interviewed and he discussed fans using wrestling lingo. He says he has no respect for them.
What a bunch of marks.
Basically. Now, I get where Flair is coming from. You know, he's of an older generation where the business was protected to a T. And obviously, I mean, the business has been exposed for years. But I get what he's saying. Like, people who aren't in the business, who don't work in it, who don't take bumps or working in any capacity, why are you using our lingo? I get it, you know. And, you know, there are fans that, like, will use the lingo to try to sound cool or whatever. I did that stuff back when I was young and whatnot.
Don't do it anymore, but you're a part of the business, so you can use it now, right, Philip?
Duh.
You're not a dirty little mark.
Oh, my God. Look, like I work shows. I get paid for my services. I'm in the business. But no, like when I was 15, I'd be like, oh, he's a heel, you know, like thinking I was cool and whatnot. Like looking back at it, like, oh, that's stupid. I don't know why I was doing that stuff. But Brandon, what are your thoughts on Flair's comments about fans using wrestling vernacular?
So I haven't seen the actual clip to get the full context of it, but I think I kind of sit on the same side as you, Philip. Like, if it's just us, like us here on the podcast, just kind of throwing the terms around, I think it's fine. Or talking with your friends, it's fine. But then, like, once you, like, go to that next level and, like, you try to talk to the wrestlers, like,
no,
you're
so
one,
like,
of the boys, or
like Flair, like, in general, just like, why are you using our lingo? You're not in the business. Basically, if you're
I think at this point, the business is just so open that
it's
hard for you to expect that.
Yeah. Flair is basically like, you're not in the business. Why are you using our terms? That's his gist of it. Katie, what are your thoughts? After you come,
you know, I can see where it comes from. But honestly, I mean, with us, we're technically a media source. You know, we do offer news and information.
We're the media source.
Yes, we are. We are the media source. I think that using terms, if you're kind of like wrestling adjacent, I think makes sense. But otherwise, I don't know what to say, really.
Katie, you're
Is
breaking up.
there a real reason why he needs to dump on his dad?
Katie, you're breaking up. We can't really hear you.
Katie's a robot. She's been taken over
she has
by
been taken over.
Robot overlords, and they've infiltrated the Bullet Cast.
Yeah,
it's just something we didn't think this was going to happen until maybe episode 3000, but now episode 300, it's here. But
301.
Katie, okay, you're back. So kind of just recap what you were saying.
Okay, so what I was saying was essentially, I think people who are wrestling adjacent, people who are in the media and so on and so forth, I don't see any problem with us using wrestling vernacular. I think it's kind of weird that Ric Flair is jumping on his fans, honestly.
You know what? I think Ric Flair is right. You joke. No, I'm not. I had a bit ready. I don't know where I was going with that. It is what it is. This is a new generation. What are we gonna do? All right. The last match, not Ric Flair's last match, but the last match. It is a Broadway production starring Matt Cardona. Yes, there is a, obviously, you know, there's acting, and then there is a wrestling match at the end of the play. Yeah. This is new. This is different. I'd watch it as well. Matt Cardona was also on Sam Roberts' podcast last week, and he said if he were to go back to WWE, he would not be Zack Ryder because Zack Ryder is dead.
T's and P's to Zack Ryder.
T's and P's to the Long Island IZ. Woo, woo, woo.
You know it, bro.
You know it. So, Brandon, are you a play guy? Are you a man of the arts like that? Are you Shakespearean at all?
Well, of course, no, a man of the arts, but I don't think I've ever gone to a play that was not a field trip for school, and I'm old, so it's been a while since I've been in school, but this seems like a cool, well, I have seen Hamilton on Disney Plus, so I guess that counts, but I mean, it seems like a cool little, thing, a play with a wrestling at the end, or is it like about wrestling? Like, what is the plot, or do we even know what that is yet?
Yeah, no, it's about wrestling.
But like, is it like The Wrestler? Is it like a show, like a match? Like,
I'm not exactly too sure. I didn't like really like, actually, I forgot what he said, but like, I know it's about wrestling. It is a Broadway play about wrestling with a wrestling match at the end.
Go get your tickets now before they sell out.
Yes. Katie, what are your thoughts?
I would say, as someone who has been in the musical theater industry for the better portion of my life, I was Rizzo in Grease. I was doo-wop girl in Little Shop of Horrors. I was
You're a theater kid?
Yeah, I was a big theater kid. I was also a pageant girl, so I was like nationally acclaimed with singing and all of that. I got accepted into a prestigious fine arts school with a scholarship, and ended up not being able to take it because I couldn't afford it even with the scholarship. I'm all for this. I'm any way that we can get people a little bit more into wrestling, because it is a performance, it is an art. I think that it's a great way to bring the two together. Wrestling show on Broadway?
So I have the description here. The last match, a pro wrestling rock musical. The last match is the very first.
It's a musical?
Yes. The last match is the very first of its kind, fully immersive pro wrestling rock musical presented to you live in venues across the globe, paying homage to the art of professional wrestling. This touring production turns any venue into an actual wrestling arena. Wow, this sounds like a thing.
Can't wait for it to come to SF. We're going.
It's in Jersey right now. It's in Jersey right now. But you know, you get to watch the show. You get a meet and greet with Mr. Cardona himself, and yeah.
I'm super excited for this.
Yes, if they make their way out here,
We I'm gone.
Down. I'm down to go. I'm not opposed. MJF joins The Claw. Obviously, that is the new biopic discussing the life and times of the Von Erich family. I forget which Von Erich he will be playing, but it's I think it's Lance Von Erich, I believe, is the name. Speaking of The Claw, Baron Von Raschke, he was just out here in San Francisco. There was a documentary done about him. He was at the screening and everything. I'm like, dang, that's cool.
Tifty.
That's cool. But guys, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, you know, when he was gone away from AEW, the rumors were that he was, you know, getting into acting. So I guess this is it.
Well, MJF right there with Katie. He's also like a theater kid. You know, he likes the arts, the artsy form of, you know, part of wrestling.
I was a theater kid too.
Oh yeah, okay. Yes, everyone's a theater kid.
Made in heaven, man.
You know,
I guess I'm the only non-theater kid around here. So
you know, I was in a production. I played a Hispanic farmer. I was in my one and only play. My one and only play.
Do you know the name of your play that you were in?
Absolutely not. I did not care.
Was it Holes? Were you playing Holes?
I was like 11 years old, bro.
I did see, you know what? Holes, once again, Field Trip. Did see that play. There you go.
Oh, really?
Movie.
So great. Basically with this, he's going to have to take time off to film. Does he win the title next week?
I don't know.
Stay tuned to find out.
Yes. Katie, are you familiar with the Von Erichs?
I'm not.
Oh man, they were great. They were in, you know, world class, probably my favorite territory. I think I can go on record in saying that world class championship wrestling was down there in Texas, down there in the Sportatorium, down there in Dallas. Probably my favorite territory, seriously. Von Erichs, Freebirds, Texas Red, Bruiser Brody, like Austin getting his start down there. Like it just a lot of great talent came from that territory. Love it.
Sounds great.
Go back and watch that stuff, man. I'm telling you.
Watch it on the cock.
Stop. You cannot say that. You cannot say that. Stop that.
I mean, there's another word that I guess we can call. We'll talk about it later in AEW.
It is Peacock. That is the name of the streaming platform. We're not giving streaming platforms their own little nicknames
on,
or anything
on Peacock.
Like that. It is just Peacock.
On Peacock.
Look, that kind of weird stuff may fly over at curveballs and chair shots, not here. This is a critically acclaimed
podcast. I'm a peacock, Philip. Yeah, let me fly.
Okay, Dalton Castle. All right, inside the ring, Sasha Banks trains with the Juice. My friend, Juventude, you know.
Awesome. No, not Juice Robinson, not Juicy.
Not Juicy.
No,
not Orange Cassidy.
So when we... Orange Cassidy? What? His name doesn't even have juice in it.
But he's Orange Juice.
No, yeah. The Juice. And we're not talking about OJ. Yes, Juventud, one of the greatest luchadors of all time. So, I mean, given what we've seen with Monday Night Raw, which we're going to talk about, and spots in this War Games match, there are two left for the good guys' side. I mean, I don't know.
Sasha Banks out here trolling, showing that she's back in her hometown of Boston when there happens to be a wrestling show in Boston today. No, Sasha Banks or Mercedes Vernado. Whatever her, however,
Mercedes Bernardo is filming something in Boston. That's why she's there.
Had nothing to do with, you know, AEW being in Boston the same day. Definitely had no correlation for why she just had to make sure people knew that she was in Boston.
I mean, she may be like from Boston, but like she was born out in the Bay. You know, we claim her. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. Like when it comes to wrestling the Bay. I mean, we got the Anawais. We got Sasha. That's Sean Stasiak.
Bailey.
Bailey, of course. Bailey. Shout out, Bailey. You know.
Crash Holly, shout out.
Will Hobbs.
Of course. Great Khali.
Jungle Boy. You know, just thriving out here. Love it. Yeah.
Anyways.
Sasha training with Juventud.
I mean, good for her. You know, we've seen her go to Japan and train with the women out there, obviously, you know, here in the States, she's a student of the game and she loves all different types of wrestling. And, you know, we see a little bit of lucha in her style, being kind of a smaller wrestler. So, you know, I wonder if/when she comes back, if we'll see a little bit more lucha in her style.
little bit more flashiness. Katie, thoughts?
I'm here for absolutely anything that Sasha Banks does, Mercedes Renato does. I'm excited about all of this, all of it. And I
love it.
Really want to see her back in WWE soon.
Absolutely. This day in wrestling, probably the most famous thing, one of the most famous things that's happened in the history of the business, the Montreal Screwjob 25 years ago today.
It's all a work, brother.
According to Scott Hall, I never got to ask him that, but apparently it's a work to him, brother. Katie, how familiar are you with the Montreal Screwjob?
Absolutely zero info.
Are you like is that a shoot?
Katie, we need you to go. We need some homework.
Like, you need to go and do some homework. I'm fine with that. I admit when I do not know things.
I mean, like I was watching this. I was 1 year old. You know,
he was in the locker room. Well, no, Brian was in the locker room.
Yeah,
in
Brian
Montreal.
Apparently was in the locker room. And he saw Brett punch Vince.
Yeah.
You know,
listen, 97, I was 6 and had probably just seen my first wrestling match ever.
So we'll give you the gist of it. Bret Hart's on his way out of the company. He's the WWE champion. They're in Montreal. He doesn't want to drop the title to Sean in Montreal. He'll drop it the next night on Raw, he says. Vince doesn't want Bret to leave the company with his championship. Thus, they come up with a plan. Sean puts Bret in the sharpshooter. Vince signals for the bell to ring. Earl Hebner gets the hell out of there. Ironically, they're filming a documentary about Bret's life wrestling with shadows at the time of all this. So,
great movie. Don't think it's on Netflix anymore, but it used to be.
That's not. So Vince goes to see Bret after. Bret says, "I'm going to take a shower. If you're still here when I get back, I'm going to punch you in the face." And Vince was there. Bret, according to Bret, he said 14 years and uppercuts Vince, and Vince flies and hits the floor. Bret, he leaves, goes to WCW, and. Goldberg kicked him in the head and ended his career.
Just a little story. I mean, it's easy that you could forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, this really did a lot of things. Kind of helped start the Mr. McMahon character, and then the Attitude Era would be brushed in, and then of course, honestly, I think this is the reason why there's a 90-day no compete because of this whole situation with Bret. So, a lot of things.
Yeah. So I do remember that. I didn't correlate the actual event with the name Montreal Screwjob, but I remember this.
The show. On this day, WCW Nitro 1998, one of Brandon's favorite wrestlers, the Ultimate Warrior, makes his first appearance. SmackDown 1999. Ooh,
the wrestling world is never the same again after that.
Yeah. SmackDown 1999, the future Governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, was on SmackDown, you know, punches Triple H and all that. TNA Turning Point 2008, Kurt Angle beat Abyss. This is probably most famous for Kurt Angle doing that insane dive off of the stage at Abyss. Sting retained the TNA title against AJ Styles. And AEW Full Gear, the first one, was on this day in 2019. Cody Rhodes was unsuccessful in a title match against Chris Jericho for the AEW title. Cody lost. He would never challenge for the championship again, which he has gone on record in saying that was a mistake.
You don't say. Handcuffing one of your biggest stars to never challenge for the championship. Just less than a year, less than a couple months into the company's existence. You don't say.
This is why you just don't let wrestlers do what they want to do.
And well, we're here. November 9th, year of our Lord, 2022.
Yep.
Still the same.
All right. Moving on. Fan mail. Jack of all trades. With Katie saying, Katie, you get mentioned in the fan mail? Look at you.
Well, usually when I get mentioned in the fan mail, it's because I messed up or I said some pseudo racial things or I didn't read someone's email. And it's usually a bad thing if I'm in the email.
Dude, that was like a couple years ago, bro. You had one email and you didn't read it.
Well, that's because I just assumed nobody emailed me.
Always check the mail, brother. Always. So yeah, he says, with Katie saying Omos should go back to developmental, reminds me of a clip I heard from, I think it might have been Bully Ray saying, we fans shouldn't say things like that because we don't know what
it's like Ric Flair.
We don't know what it takes or what needs to happen. Okay. I feel like I've heard this clip, you know, because Bully Ray says like a lot of these things a lot.
I've heard this clip.
Yeah. Once yeah. again, get where Bully Ray's coming from. We are not wrestlers. We you know, we don't travel the roads. We don't take bumps for a living. No, so we don't.
Not yet.
Not yet. So we don't know, like, really what needs to happen. What you know, we've never, like, performed in front of a crowd like they have. So I get what he's saying. I understand.
Sure. Yeah. And I do too. Coming from a performance background, watching it from what little experience I do have as a performer, I feel, in my personal opinion, and anyone listening does not have to agree with my opinion. I feel like Omos needs more time to develop his character, to develop some more skills on the mic, because I think he could be really good on the mic. And I think he just needs a little more training.
He'll be great on.
Like I've said before, I think he has great potential. He just needs it nursed the right way.
What do you think, Brandon?
About Omos or about the.
About the, you know, we're not wrestlers. What are we talking about?
Well, I mean, I try to stay away from the, like, I'll say, like, from a fan perspective, I don't find them entertaining. I don't think they're good. So, like, I kind of like to walk that line because I am well aware. I have never wrestled. I don't know what it takes to wrestle. I've, you know, watched wrestling for 20 years now because I'm getting old. That, you know, I've seen my fair share and I kind of know what I like. And so I will be I'll keep it more personal and just be like, and I even say, like, Omos, I'm not a big fan of him, but I do feel like there is a way to utilize him as a big man, as, you know, using him sparingly as a, you know, tag team guy, or, you know, the spectacle like the Braun Strowman match. So
you said,
and he's been in developmental for a long time. Like, he was the ninja back, you know, in the COVID era with Tozawa, and he was in developmental for a long time before that. So it's not like, you know, he hasn't been there.
You said use him sparingly as a tag team guy, right? There's only one tag team for Omos. Put him with Riddle or Omos. Sell the merchandise. They will be big in Abu Dhabi. They will be big in Shanghai. They'll be big in Dallas. They'll be big in Chicago. They will sell like nobody's business in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. For Omos all day.
No, no, no. 1,000 times no.
All day, baby.
No, no, no. No,
I could hear it, bro.
Omos. No,
bro,
Omos.
I could hear it.
Omos.
I can hear 75,000 people inside of WrestleMania going absolutely crazy for the new WWE Undisputed. You know what? They can beat the Usos. I'll say it. Omos dethrones the Usos. Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Because they get so hot, Omos becomes a megastar, and he's the one that beats Roman, squashes him.
Well, I'm not going that way. Hey, I.
Oh, sorry. That's where we draw the line. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what we apparently Triple H knows who's going to do that. Apparently.
You just broke my brain.
It's gonna be Triple H.
It's gonna be
King
the game.
Got to go over, brother.
Yes.
My brain.
Her brain is broken. Her brain is broken.
Wonderful, ha. Huh?
Oh, I miss broken Matt Hardy. Wonderful. Yes. Robert Walker, what happened to Theory Monday night was a complete waste of his talent and the Money in the Bank briefcase. Usually Triple H builds someone and then Vince gets his hands on them and people are left feeling like, what the hell was that? Well, now the rules have been reversed. Ooh, that was fire.
Oh, how the turntables have table turned.
That was an email. Do you think Vince called him and was like, what the hell was that? Oh, I can't wait to talk about this. So excited. Dan. Philip, I heard this on Sam Roberts' podcast, and I'm sure you have as well. Thoughts on Jeff Jarrett being the best worker of all time? I did hear this.
Lol.
Not worker. Omega lol. No, not worker as in ring. Worker as in like truly utilizes the business. I mean, if you think about it, like Sam broke it down. I'll break it down for y'all here. You know, he's does a territory thing when his dad goes to WWE, has a run as one of the early 90s Intercontinental Champions when that title was prestigious as all hell. Leaves, goes to WCW, becomes a horseman, comes back to WWE, doesn't get a world title opportunity, gets Vince to have the NWA World Championship on TV, goes back to WCW, does this thing there, comes back to WWE, late 90s run with the IC title in China, holds Vince up for money, gets the money, leaves, goes to WCW again, slap nuts, world champion, WCW's done, Vince fires him on TV, starts the NWA TNA with his dad, runs that for as long as he can. That doesn't really work out. Starts Global Force Wrestling, you know, doesn't even have an actual, like, doesn't run actual shows, just titles are appearing on different places. Kind of like what I'm doing here.
They had some tapings. There were some tapings, okay.
There were, Christina Von Erie was one of their champions, shout out, friend of the show.
I think the Gallows and Anderson had the tag titles or was competing for them.
Yeah, Cody was the next-gen champion, all that other stuff. And then, you know, to keep the Global Force name or to capitalize and make it, how do I want to put this?
We've been doing this for so long.
To add some stank.
Global Force feels like it's been forever ago, and yet we were talking about it when it was happening.
Yeah. To put some stank on, like, the name, he joins the Bullet Club when it was extremely hot, or before the real peak happened. Does that...
He brought New Japan to the pay-per-view, which is the first ever Wrestle Kingdom I saw on pay-per-view.
That is true. Did stuff with AAA in Japan. Goes to WWE, gets in the Hall of Fame, works backstage. And then, if not in any of that, what he did this year alone. What he did this year alone. GCW worked against one of their hottest stars in Effie, beat him. Goes back to WWE, gets another job. Referees a tag title match between the Usos and the Street Profits at SummerSlam. The next day, wrestles in Ric Flair's last match, and now he's showing up on AEW.
I mean, no hate to Jeff Jarrett. He has had a long career, and he has worn many hats. And, I think I said this on the other podcast, that he just has, like, a stink on him that AEW, like, shouldn't bring him in. And if he wants to work backstage, it's perfectly fine. But I just don't know, like, having him on screen in 2022 is what they should be doing. But, I mean, the TNA run, I think, and the late stages of WCW really kind of is what that stink is. And I do wonder, one of the many what-ifs is if he didn't come in when he returned to WWF, kind of buried Stone Cold and kind of didn't like his gimmick and didn't understand it. And then Stone Cold was like, I'm not working with that guy. And his career was basically handicapped in the WWF since then.
Katie, any thoughts on JEFFJARRETT?
Bay Bay.
So, first of all, I love Jeff Jarrett. Love him.
Wait a minute, there's actually Jeff Jarrett fans out there? That's crazy.
Yeah, bro, I will sing With My Baby tonight right now.
I did not get to see last week's AEW Dynamite, so I didn't actually know that he had returned. But when I was live tweeting today, I was like, oh, wow. Oh, hey, hello, Jeff Jarrett. I was very excited. And then, you know, hearing him kind of take a shot at Braun Strowman, I was like, ooh, ouch, shots fired. But honestly, I'm excited to see him. I can't necessarily say whether or not I agree that he's the hardest worker in the industry because I don't have enough information to be able to really give an opinion on that. But I can just say I'm hella excited.
From like what Sam listed off, what I just went through like that, and like he can be in the conversation for worker in that term.
Like Chris Jericho in there because he's had such a long career.
Yeah, no,
he might have been in WWE for a long time, but also he doesn't have the famous family that definitely helps him. Like after the WCW dying, they didn't bring him back. If he didn't have his dad or he didn't start a new company, didn't have that experience, what would Jeff Jarrett be in 2004?
That's a very great possibility. Yeah, you could throw Jericho in there, because I mean, like, it speaks for itself. Like, we know the career Jericho's had. WWE, WCW, Japan, especially the most recent Japan run, the AEW run. Now he's the Ocho and the Ring of Honor champion. Like,
or if we're going like worker, like as you said, like Cole Cabana, Young Bucks, the indie revolution of the last 15 years.
That is true, you know. Yeah, so I mean, it's just a nice thought. We'll go over to Imbrightest Day X.
Mr. X, shout out.
The Royal Rumble used to be a springboard for new talent to make it to the next level when they win it. In recent years, it all seems to focus on who's going to return. Am I alone in thinking this? Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Not wrong at all. I've been feeling the same way.
Because, I mean, like, you remember, like, I remember, like, okay, Batista wins. It's his time, you know? When Benoit won, like, it's finally his time. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I mean, Ray, like, you can list off. Eventually, it did start becoming, like, guys who have already won world championships who, all right, let's get them in a program to where they can be in a world title program, like, when you have, like, Sheamus and Orton, you know, guys like that. But, no, yeah, like, I get what he's saying. Maybe with Triple H in charge this coming January, that changes.
And you can just draw the parallel to WWE stopping, you know, not being able to create stars since the Cena and Batista era. I mean, you know, they tried with Roman and it didn't really work that well. But, you know, since then, it's been like the Brock and Roman years. So they've been a lot of, you know, top guys and what Randy's won. You know, you can say Shinsuke. Like, Shinsuke is kind of like the one that kind of stands out the last, you know, decade, I guess.
I mean,
that didn't work out.
Like, the Drew win, like, obviously we know he won the title in front of no one. But, like, it felt like, okay, we were finally starting to get back to that. Like, a guy who has a great look, you know, he's an upper mid.
But at least then he still kind of had, like, the history. Shinsuke.
No, yeah.
Came like, out of nowhere. Quote, unquote, out of nowhere.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. He also says they worked themselves into a corner with the Money in the Bank. There's no way they'd have Theory beat Roman, so they changed it to where you could cash in on any title. Well, that's always been the case. You can always cash in on any championship. That's always been the case of the Money in the Bank. More specifically, a title which he already held. This diminishes the point of winning the briefcase as well as hurting Theory's stock in the process. Big question is, can Theory come back from this? We'll talk about all that once we get to Raw. I will say this, him cashing in on a championship he's already held, that doesn't really hurt it, you know? Edge has already been a world champion. He cashed in to win another world championship, you know? The same can be said for Randy Orton when he cashed in on Daniel Bryan, SummerSlam 2013.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know.
I have no recollection of that ever happening.
Sure, you know.
I still have that on my DVR. You might have it on the Peacock, but I still have it on the DVR, and I don't remember that ever happening.
What cable provider you got?
I got that DirecTV, best one.
No, if we're talking like best one, I think Xfinity tops them all.
I had Xfinity back in my early wrestling days, and it was a tough time.
Oh, when it was Comcast.
When it was trying to order those pay-per-views, I remember there has been multiple times we had a call and just be like, we bought this. It's a black screen. What is going on here? Or we hear it. We can't see it. What's going on?
I
never have one with DirecTV.
DirecTV wasn't a fan. We switched over to when it was Comcast, ordered pay-per-views, never had a problem. Comcast, when it comes to providing cable services, they are the best in the history of the business. Wi-Fi, top notch.
As someone who has Xfinity, I agree with that. Also, Brandon, when you said DirecTV the first time, I thought you said drug TV, and I was like, "What is that?"
Oh, that's what they.
Well, you know, I used to watch the drug shows. AT&T got the internet; it's fantastic. Shout out to the fiber, great fiber, everyone.
Now,
fiber, be regular.
I will say, you know, if there's a second best for the cable, like the AT&T U-verse, I think that's second best. My personal opinion. But Drug
Shout out NFL Sunday Ticket.
Yeah, but Drug
TV. The best red zone.
Drug TV is what they show in the projects.
Yeah.
Anyway,
started with Ronald Reagan.
Oh,
that's how it first started during the Reagan administration.
Reaganomics. Shout out Nancy Reagan. I can't say that here, so I'm. They have the story of MJF reaching his potential. Would anyone be surprised if MJF actually loses at Full Gear, then actually joins the BCC to learn from Mox, Regal, and company? Is that too crazy of a scenario? Yes.
I don't think the poss. I think there's a possibility he loses. I don't see the possibility of him joining with Moxley after he just, you know, stopped being with the firm, and that was this whole thing of he doesn't want to be with a group or tied to somebody.
Or is he really with the firm and he's working us all?
I don't know.
Y'all just killed me.
What? You didn't watch your, well, you didn't live in the projects. You didn't watch Drug TV. Oh, is that not what we're talking about?
What are we talking about? I'm confused.
I'm confused as well.
I just spent the last like 3 minutes coughing my lungs up because you guys made me laugh so hard.
Because we're clowns. We're clowns. It's a clown show here, Philip.
We're clowns. God damn it, we're clowns.
Hey, shout out Pat McAfee. Him and his wife are having a kid after some issues these last few years. Shout out Pat McAfee.
Shout
and Mrs.
out
Pat McAfee.
Shout out to Pat McAfee. Oh, one of the best, one of my inspirations when I'm on the mic calling matches.
I love Pat McAfee. He's so great.
Love Pat. He's one of the best guys in the history of the business. Love him. But
I think that the theory of MJF.
Austin. Oh, sorry, wrong theory.
Wrong theory. I think the theory of MJF losing to Jon Moxley and then joining Blackpool Combat Club is a little far-fetched. Personally, my money, my opinions on MJF to win the championship, but we'll see what happens at Full Gear.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right. Next up, I guess, let's talk about some Monday Night Raw. Austin Theory cashed in Money in the Bank unsuccessfully on the United States Championship. Look, I love Money in the Bank. It's my favorite match of all time. I am tired of this briefcase, you know, just not being cashed in on successfully like that. I mean, like when Cena happened, okay, he's the first one, cool. Then it was Sandow, okay. Honestly, I think Corbin should have won the title. Strowman, I was like, eh, Strowman, whatever. Them taking you off of Otis, putting it on Miz, that was the smart move.
Hey, Otis was over. You should have kept on Otis. I stand by that.
Otis was over. It worked out. It worked out the way it went. Look. Hunter, I'm not going to say he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not one of those fans. I'm just like, okay, he decided to do this. We have to truly wait and see what happens. But I have a theory about Austin.
What?
He needs a definitive moment to bounce back from this, or he may never recover. To be fair, I like how Baron Corbin was like, hey, bro, welcome to the club. Our leader is John Cena on the unsuccessful cash-ins. Thought that was ha-ha. Katie, what are your thoughts on Austin Theory unsuccessfully cashing in the Money in the Bank contract?
I won't lie. I laughed a good portion of the time because I hate Austin Theory as a heel. But he's such a good heel, which I'm that just means I'm in it. I am in it. But I definitely think he needs a defining moment. I think that his potential is currently being squandered. And I pray that Mr. Paul Levesque, our dear Triple H, comes up with something really good to give him because he deserves to be on the roster. He deserves to have a defining moment and to shine. And he hasn't been given that opportunity, really.
Yeah, he needs to shine bright like a diamond. Brandon.
I agree with Mr. X. They kind of booked themselves into a corner. Not only with Theory, but just kind of this, you know, Money in the Bank contract in general just because of Roman and where he is. I did like the possibility of him like cashing in on NXT just because that is the top championship for that brand, and it would make sense if he were to do that. I just don't know. It just makes him look like a schmuck going after a secondary title when he could go after the top championship. And, you know, maybe they have some sort of reasoning behind it. He'll cut some promo and he's, you know, he saw his opportunity and he took it, but it's like, why would you go after that title when you have the chance in an unlimited, you know, whenever you want chance at Roman? Like, it just makes him look like an idiot. And this, I don't want to say like a smack in the face to like what Vince has done, but it definitely shows that Triple H did not have the same theory that Austin Theory is going to be, you know, one of the top guys going forward. But I say you just had him cash in on Roman and lose. I think that does less damage than him cashing in on a secondary championship and losing.
Well, given it's Seth Rollins and how hot he's on, does that kind
is
of
he, ha- is he really that hot?
Bro, do you not hear people singing this song every week? Doesn't matter where they are.
Okay, just because people are Pavlovianly singing a song doesn't mean you're over.
Bro, look, Seth Rollins has
just because you know no, the circus like, comes to town, and you sing the song doesn't mean.
Let's be real. Seth Rollins has lost what every pay-per-view match he's had this year, and with the exception of the you know technically he beat Roman at Royal Rumble via DQ, but besides that he's been pinned in every pay-per-view match he has had this year. But he is still over. He still performs at the highest level. He's still a very prominent featured segment.
I think we use that term
television.
Over very loosely.
Or not. Okay, he's still a very prominent featured segment in a prominent featured match on television every single week. That's just a credit to how good Seth Rollins is.
Or just because they don't have that many people at that level. And he can lose every single time. And yeah, he might not be at the peak of what he could be, but it's like you're not going to bring up The Miz or, you know, insert whatever mid-card person when Seth Rollins is at a certain level. He might not be at the very tip-top level, but it's not like he's... This definitely is not the most over Seth Rollins has been. And I think since he returned from his knee injury, it's kind of progressively, you know, gone down a little bit.
We talk about the injury.
I wholeheartedly disagree with you.
Talk about the injury in 2016.
Yeah.
So I'll put it. Okay, here. He came back. He was should have been a babyface. Was a heel again. Okay, whatever. They turned him babyface. He tried to find his stride for a very long time. The IC title run. Okay, cool. Found his little babyface stride. And then he did the thing with Brock. Really hot for a second. Then the fans started to turn on him. Obviously, the Fiend stuff happens, becomes the Messiah.
Chat.
All this other stuff. Now, but he's in a prominent spot at the moment. This is basically where he should have been when he came back. I mean, sure, he came back, beat Roman for the WWE title. Okay, cool. Then lost it a couple minutes later to Moxley. Yeah, whatever. But he, like, at this point in time, like, he is in a very prominent spot. He's performing on a different level. He's performing better than he was back then. Say that with a fact.
Is he, though?
He is.
What is the Seth Rollins character? He, like, he maniacally laughs, dresses funny.
He's the drip guy.
I'm going to put in my two cents here. Because I joined back up in, you know, watching wrestling, really getting into it in 2020. And, you know, at the time, he was still Monday Night Messiah. And every single time I see him reinvent himself, I think that, you know, the characters are similar, but he puts 115% effort into every single character that he does. He is ridiculously talented. He is a pretty safe wrestler when it comes to working with other people. And
not according to Bret Hart
or Sting.
Well, not according to Bret Hart, but you know, he does what he can to make sure that people are safe. Now, I think that he is a very prominently featured segment on Raw. I think that he has a fantastic run going right now. I'm excited to see where he takes his championship. And I don't think he deserves the hate, Mr. Brandon.
I mean, I'm not hating. I'm not saying he's not in a prominent.
I think Brandon's jealous of the fur coats. I think Brandon wants a furry coat.
I'm so jealous. So.
Do you need to wear a fur coat for a little bit? Because
You guys are saying he's in a prominent spot, which I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm more disagreeing with, like, he's on this hot run right now.
He is on a hot run. Oh my God.
How is he on a hot run?
Look at the people that he's been fighting against. I mean, come on, this year alone.
My point is, he lost all those matches, hasn't really lost momentum.
Exactly.
Like, he should, like, after the third Cody loss, attacked he's him like the a, next night, still
this
hot.
This might come as a dig. The Miz is at a certain level. Seth Rollins is at a certain level. He can win or lose. He can lose as much as he wants. The Miz is not going to go down a certain amount. He's always going to be where he is. Seth Rollins, he's losing right now. He's lost a lot of his matches. He's at a certain level. That's higher than The Miz. But he's also, like, Raw is the Roman-less show, and he's kind of like, he's the guy. He's the U.S. champion. Now, he is the U.S. champion, so maybe they can build him up a little bit more, but I'm just not crowning him as this, like, hot act right now. I mean, he just turned babyface, and he, like, is just a babyface. He didn't, like, turn or, like, change his act by any means.
It's okay.
Did he officially turn babyface?
No. He didn't officially turn babyface. I think they're running towards that, but it's okay. You can be wrong, Brandon.
Yes. Just because people pavlovingly sing your song means you're over, apparently.
Anyway, let's get back to Austin Theory.
Hey, this is the whole reason we're supposed to be talking about was Austin Theory.
Yeah, we were talking about Austin Theory and his failed cash-in. Let's just hope that they come up with something to, you know, give him his shining moment.
John Cena?
Papa do boo boo.
You can't see me.
I've been yelled at like that since the other guy was here, like 3 years ago, four years ago.
What did he yell at you about?
Well, you know, we got into some significant disagreements.
Oh, yeah. He liked
very, it. It's honestly very similar because, you know, he's kind of more the artsy type, kind of similar to Katie.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to those Ren fairs too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There you go. Now she's the other girl, but she's more than the other girl. She's Katie. She's Scarlet, the Agent of Chaos, and however many other nicknames she's got. She still has more nicknames than I do, and she's been here for like a month.
I am the Scarlet Seductress. I am the Agent of Chaos. I am Poison Scarlet.
Stealing my gimmick with just having multiple names.
Like, I have three names. Three names.
It's gonna
be like 37.
It's
301.
It's going to be 4, then it's going to be 5, then it's going to be 15, then it's going to be 29.
Someday I will rival you, but today is not that day.
Rival me? I'm the OTK. I'm the one-take kid. You want to do this?
I've already said I'll fight you.
You want to fight me?
I will fight you.
Me?
Yes.
Let me. I don't want to do this.
Well, no, you don't want to do this. That's exactly why I'm saying it.
Come down to Oasis. Invitation is open any day of the week.
Trust, I'm working on it.
Oh, I need to get the cameraman. I need to find David Edge.
Listen, no lie. I am legit talking with Leo right now about rolling out to Oasis.
You're talking to somebody while we're conducting this podcast?
Yes.
All the attention is supposed to be on the pod. Wow, Katie.
Listen, I am a multitasking queen.
Oh, she gave herself another nickname.
No. I didn't give myself that nickname. I've been given that nickname with every single job that I've had.
Brandon. Philip, let's talk about this Survivor Series War Games match.
Please. We got our first War Games match. War Games! Well, can't do that anymore because he's the company, but the women's one, the women's War Games match is official. We got Damage Control with Nikki Cross, the new / former / final 24/7 champion. Shout out.
I will say this real quick. Peter Rosenberg is still the greatest 24/7 champion of all time.
Pat Patterson, greatest 24/7 champion of all time, RIP. Katie, who's your favorite 24/7 champion?
Her favorite is friend of the show, Ted DiBiase.
Or Santa Claus.
Or Kelly Kelly, also a friend of the show.
Actually, my favorite is R-Truth.
See, that's the typical answer.
I love him!
For everybody.
Don't at me.
Look, I get it. Kate
shout out Drake. Or no, shout out. Did Drake Maverick's wife.
Shout out Drake! He said it. I knew it.
I did not. Wait. I said Drake Maverick. Did Drake Maverick's wife win the championship?
24/7 champion? Or no. No, 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 no. It wasn't Pat McAfee. What's his name?
Gronk won it.
Gronk
was the 24/7 champion.
That was pretty funny. I loved watching him dive off of the the second story landing. That was
do I even dare go on the Wikipedia page? This thing's gonna be like 10 pages long of everyone who's held it.
Katie, have you seen that video of like Vince being like, this is how you do it, because he was scared to jump?
No.
Yeah, Vince was like, do it like this, and then Vince just jumped and I was like, I love it.
There we go. Titus O'Neil, first ever champion, never forget.
Yes. Yes.
Good man, Titus.
Okay, back. Let's go back to the. Let's go back.
Sorry,
to the
I'll shout out Alundra Blaze. She's nice. Shout out Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. Shout out Mike Kanellis and Maria Kanellis.
Everyone's got a price.
And the Revival, both of them apparently were co-champions for whatever reason.
Love it.
Everyone's gonna pay.
Oh, shout out Ernest Enos, whatever his name is, Cantor.
Yeah, let's
shout
out
Mayor Glenn. Oh, never mind. Not shout out Mayor Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah, let's go back to the War Games. Please.
When I'm going, oh, shout out Marshmallow.
Oh my god.
Michael Giasso, isn't that one of the, I don't know who that is.
I have no idea.
Shout out Kyle Busch. Shout out Santa Claus.
Yes.
Santa's
yes.
coming to town.
So Nikki Cross with Io Shirai, Dakota Kai, and Bayley against Bianca Belair, Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and two people who have yet to be named.
We'll find out in the coming weeks.
Woo! We will find out in the coming weeks. Shout out Asuka and Io just shouting Japanese at each other. Thought that was fantastic.
Did you see the translation?
Yes.
It was so much better with the translation.
I loved it.
Shout out to Gobbledygooker.
Yes, yes. Brandon, what are your thoughts on this War Games match?
Shout out Peter Rosenberg.
Okay, yes, shout out Peter Rosenberg.
I'm still in February 2021. Shout out Doug Flutie.
We're done. We're done with that.
Shout out Bad Bunny. No, Bad Bunny, one of the greatest 24/7 champions of all time.
Yes, he took it
shout
on Saturday
out Joseph Average. Who the hell is Joseph Average?
An average Joe. Okay, so.
Oh, yeah, they did those Old Spice commercials. It was really stupid.
Yes.
Remember the KFC commercials they did?
Dude, what are your thoughts about this War Games match, please?
It makes sense, you know, damage control, their group, you know, Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa have been going at them for a couple months. So if you're going to have one man and one women's one, having damage control against their arch rivals definitely makes sense. I don't know how it's going to work in ring wise. You know, you got Io, who's probably going to do something crazy. I did see your favorite Brian Alvarez tweet something like, oh, they're going to go so crazy at War Games this year, because basically all the people who have been in War Games matches are AEW people now. So it should be very interesting and fun to see what a main roster WWE roster will do in a War Games match, because those NXT ones, they were insane and crazy, because, you know, all NXT takeover matches were insane and crazy.
We shall wait and see.
War Games AEW was one of my favorite things so far this year.
Shout out Reggie. What happened to Reggie?
I don't know what happened. You talk about their Blood and Guts?
Or no, yeah, their Blood and Guts. Yeah.
Blood and Guts!
Shout out Nikki A.S.H.
Yeah.
Shout out Dewdrop. When's Dewdrop coming back as Piper Niven?
What happened to her, bro? What happened to her? Miss her. So as far as like the damage control side,
shout out Sean Bennett.
Who do you think is going to be on their team? Who do you think?
They were made to the end. Tease and peace to the 24/7 championship. Okay, we're done.
Yes.
Anyways, four games. Yeah, four games.
Nikki Cross tried to throw it in the garbage, completely missed.
Whiffed.
Didn't get her Alundra Blaze moment. Sucks to suck. So yeah, Brandon, who do you think is going to be on the damage control side?
They got one more spot to fill. Correct?
I'd like to see Rhea Ripley.
I think you kind of keep Rhea Ripley like to herself. And now we got the thing with Mia Yim, shout out. I'm trying to think like the women's roster on Raw. And this is just kind of the roster right now. Like, let's see, WWE Raw roster. Because I would assume it's all going to be on the same.
Is it going to be the Queen? No.
I'd be surprised. She's on SmackDown anyway.
Is she?
Yeah.
Charlotte's on SmackDown?
Can I not?
I don't even think the brand split matters at the moment.
I'm on the website, and there's not like a way to split them. So that's great. And there's like 20. Oh, look, there we go. Current. Here we go. Raw. Maybe some Raw wrestlers.
There you go.
Let's see. Who are some Raw women's wrestlers? Becky Lynch is out there. Carmella. Oh, Candice LeRae. She can probably be on the babyface side.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know who's going to be on the damage control side. As far as Bianca's team, I mean, Sasha and Naomi, they seem like the logical choice. I mean, because we know when they return, they're going to get a massive pop. Yeah.
But they could also wait until Royal Rumble to bring them back.
That is a possibility. That is a possibility.
Because that would be a big pop too.
So is this going to be like exclusively a Raw match while the men's one is like predominantly SmackDown if the Bloodline is going to be on the men's team?
I think this is Raw and SmackDown because, you know, the women's tag team champions are involved and they can go to both shows.
Oh, okay. Great loophole there.
Yeah.
I mean, who's to say that they're not going to do 4 War Games matches?
No, that's
no.
Way That'd be a lot, but that would
way,
be too
that's
much.
Way too much.
We're pushing it. We're already pushing it with 2.
Yeah. Mia Yim has returned to WWE. She joins the OC to help them with their Rhea problem. Look. I mean, they haven't really
good for
gone.
Her.
Yeah, the good for her. Love
Glad
Mia
she's
Yim.
Back.
Glad she's back. They haven't
Welcome
really gone.
Back, Mia Yim.
They haven't gone into why, which I'm gonna need a real like why, because she has no connection to these dudes at all whatsoever.
Well, no. You know, Mia Yim, AJ, Impact, TNA days, maybe. I don't know.
She wasn't there when he was there.
I don't. What? I'm trying. Okay.
No,
I'm
bro.
Trying.
It would have. No, like they need somebody else. Real talk, like. It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, do you bring someone from NXT? I don't know. Honestly, Doudrop, if you want to like really like harden her, kind of like what you're doing with Nikki, that could have been an option. But once again, no real connection there. But
Katie, what are your thoughts on Mia Yim's WWE return?
I mean, I'm excited to see her back. In fact, I wrote a note about it, and of course I deleted it. I'm super excited to see her. When I first started watching and she was with, what were they called? Mustafa Ali and T-Bar and Mace.
How can you forget about Retribution?
Retribution.
Retribution? I wish I could forget it, honestly. But I felt like she wasn't being utilized, and I'm really hoping that Triple H will be able to utilize her in a better way. Let's see what comes from her teaming up with the OC. I don't quite see a correlation as to why she's with them, because she doesn't have any ties to them. But
can't confirm she was in TNA the year after AJ left.
Duh. I know, because I was watching.
Oh, I thought you were there. Brian was there. But were you there?
No, but I'm not one of these dudes that's like, oh, I was there when I wasn't. I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy.
I'm just excited to see her.
I saw her when she was at Full Queer in Concord earlier this year. Yeah. Shout out Mia Yim. Put Poyo through a door.
Yes.
Love Poyo, though. No, love her. Love Poyo.
Also, can we just talk about the fact that she and Keith Lee are total couple goals? Like, they're adorable.
I bet Keith Lee wishing he can come back right now. Just saying. I'm just saying. Just saying, man.
I love Keith Lee.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're gonna move on.
We're gonna move on from that. The Bloodline defeats the New Day and Riddle. Riddle ruined the segment by coming out. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah.
Whenever the New Day and the Usos is together on the mic, like it was Xavier saying, we built our legacies off our own backs. We didn't use our daddy or our uncles or our cousins. I was like, oh
yeah.
And then the Usos gonna be like, you know how hard we had it, bro? Being from this family, I was like, ooh, keep going. Yeah, but
and then Matt Riddle came out with the bongos.
Yeah. You want to hit my bong, bro?
See, get it? Because it's a bongo, but a bong is also something you smoke weed with. And Riddle allegedly likes to smoke weed.
I'm not going to lie. I did pop when he said tap, tap, pass.
True. But also, it just didn't fit with the intensity of what was going on the mic.
You see, the bongo.
I think Riddle is trying to enter the tag team division. This only means one thing, Philip.
Oh my God. He's going to see Omos backstage. You want to hit my bong, bro? Omos starts playing. Oh my God. Yes. Omos coming.
I swear. If this happens.
No, Katie, like, shoot. Like, if Bromos actually becomes a thing, what will you do?
She might stop watching.
I'm going to tweet about it. What would you do, for real?
I don't, my brain can't.
It was a pleasure having you on the Bulletcast, Katie.
My brain can't process the idea of them being together. Like, I legitimately hate this idea. I don't know what I'm gonna do if this actually happens.
Katie, when are you gonna take it? Like, when are you gonna understand? I'm one of the greatest minds of the 21st century. This is one of my great ideas.
You know, I wasn't a fan of Bromos to begin with, but I'm starting to come around on it.
No, stop. No.
Not for any serious reasons, but I'm here for the memes. I'm here for the lulz.
Come on. Let's do it.
I might actually break down and cry.
Bromos to the moon.
Just full on crocodile tears.
That is crikey, mate.
Angry, yelling, full blown meltdown. Like, it will.
As long as we get a video of it, you know, gotta do it for content.
Gotta do it for the content, yes.
It will be my pipe bomb.
Don't mind. Solo Sikoa gets the win, pinning Riddle, one half of the future Bromos. Hits the spinning solo. Love it. You know, Yoko used to use that move, so it ties back to the family. Oh, let's go! I love the Bloodline.
I love the Bloodline.
No, Katie, love the Bloodline. What you're gonna have to go back and do? Watch the rap battle between the Usos and the New Day from 2017. It was on the fourth, it was on a 4th of July episode of SmackDown. Wale,
I'm just gonna go pull that up right
was
now.
Was the mediator, if you would speak. Great times. Then The Miz defeats Johnny Gargano.
Did you know that Wale has the song? You know, it's Razor Ramon, and it has the sample in the background.
Oh my god! Very first thing that pops up.
Just doing my best Philip impression.
Bro, listen, that is one of the greatest.
But every single time we bring up Wale, you say that every time.
Okay, I have the video up and ready to run once we are done with the podcast.
There you go. Let's get into AEW Dynamite. Let's hit this real quick. The Gun Club and Swerve.
No, you don't want to talk about The Miz and Johnny Gargano and how Gargano was just very sports entertainment-y. Just living it up. He's doing such a great job right now.
Yeah.
Just what I thought Johnny Wrestling would be doing under Triple H. Having complete control on the main roster.
Hey man, it is what it is.
Anyway, let's go to AEW. I like this.
Let's knock all of this out. Gun Club and Swerve in Our Glory versus FTR and the Acclaimed and FTR. They get the W, as they should. Yes, sir. What are your guys' thoughts? Real quick.
So watching this, I feel like FTR and the Acclaimed really kind of worked together and did a great job as a four-man tag match, or four-man, you know, tag team Gun Club and Swerve just didn't mesh. And I think that's probably what they were going for, but it really just made them look bad versus FTR and the Acclaimed, who came out of it with great momentum.
I thought it was a fine opening tag match, definitely kind of playing into the dissension growing with Swerve and Lee. So
yeah,
you know, FTR, they continue to be over even though they're not really doing anything, and the Acclaim continue. I do wonder how long this whole scissor me thing is going to last, because I think it's going to flame probably very quickly, but it's not flaming out right now.
Did you guys see the sign near the ramp, the scissor hole?
Not during November. Come on, guys.
Guys, it's November. Y'all gotta chill. December 1st. Go back at it.
Gentlemen, I have no chill.
God, y'all gotta calm down with
no
that.
No chill.
It's hard out here for some of these dudes.
Oh, you poor things.
Yeah, y'all poor things. I don't care about November. I'm still out here.
I don't participate in that.
Ah, Katie out here too. Brandon, are you out here?
Stay out here.
Oh, Brandon, stay.
Yeah, I no. Mm-mm.
All day. Nah. But yeah, so moving on from that. MJF, he promo was actually shot while he was on a podcast, which
Barstool, part of my take. Shout out Big Cat, shout out PMT. Are you a part of the 999 club? I don't think you are. I am.
It's not the Bulls. It's not the BC, bruh. So I don't care.
Just don't be jealous because you're not a part of the exclusive 999 club.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't know because you're not a part of it.
Look, I'm a peckerhead. Stop. I'm a peckerhead. What are you talking about? Do you guys know what peckerheads are?
I'm just going to leave that alone.
You guys know what peckerheads are?
It's November, Philip. Settle down.
What do you mean? So, Brennan, tell us about this promo.
Well, it was just I don't know, like, what they were going for in terms of, like, setup about doing this on Part of My Take, but Big Cat just asked him, like, oh, you know, you got this match coming up, and then MJF just went on this whole diatribe and talking about what it means for his career and how, quote-unquote, every single time he's had this, like, big moment, big match in his career, it's always been overshadowed by something else, like Cody's neck tattoo or Matt Hardy almost killing himself when he fell. And we got an outright acknowledgement of the Full Gear press conference on his return. Yeah, just continuing to going on the trajectory
parade
of
his parade
of MJF, just, like, you know, really wanting to get this championship and kind of muddy in the water and don't know exactly where he stands, which I don't want to cast any judgment to be like, oh, this sucks, oh, this is great or whatnot, just because I don't know, like, what are we supposed to feel? Because we have this entire 3-year history of what MJF has been. He says he's changing, but this isn't the first time he's done this. So it's like, it's hard for us, like the audience, to fully be like, oh yeah, he's changed. He's going to be a good boy this time.
The last time he said he changed, he did it for like a week or two and then went just right back to being what he is. Did you read this quote yet?
You can read it. We have in-depth notes this time.
I'll read it. This could be the potential crowning of the next face of professional wrestling. His match at Full Gear against Jon Moxley. Oh, that's what this means. All I have to do to etch my name in history is have a long, fruitful title reign, and all that stands in my way is Jon Moxley. So basically he's saying, like, he could be a Flair, a Cena, a Bruno San Martino, an Austin, a Rock. Okay. Could he, though? Because all the guys he named, where did they become the face of a generation?
On the other channel.
Maxwell, if you want to truly be the face of a generation, come over to Stanford, brother. Come on over. Come to New York, as I used to say back in the day.
Listen, I'm just going to say, as a UC Berkeley grad,
What are you getting at?
Stanford is not WWE.
Stanford, Connecticut.
Anyways, I thought the promo was good.
Hold on. Katie, what are you talking about?
Me misconstruing what was being said.
Yeah.
I mean Stamford.
Yeah, it sounded like Stanford.
Stanford, Connecticut, you know, Titan Towers, you know. But yeah.
I like the promo. I like the intensity, kind of questioning, you know, you promote, oh, MJF is going to talk, but yet it was on a podcast or, you know, it was on a pre-tape that wasn't even in the arena, which I was like, okay, you know, as much as I'm a stoolie and I love, you know, I love seeing them on AEW, it's kind of weird. And then you go right after that, coming back from break or right after that, pretty much, you get, oh my God, what the hell is the firm's guy's name? Stokely Hathaway talking about MJF turning on him, calls him a dick rider, calls him, you know, saying he's dick riding for John Moxley. And it's like, you have him cutting this presumably babyface promo. Then, you know, Stokely kind of goes back at him where he's clearly a heel. And it's like, okay, I once again, very muddying the waters with MJF. And then you have John Moxley cutting another promo where he's doubting what MJF is talking about. So it's like, everyone's getting pulled in different directions.
Did Sorry, you really I was, just say that on the show?
I was quoting what he was saying.
No. You've got a male genitalia writing. You can't just say that.
If you can say it on the TBS, I think you can say it on these international internet wavelengths.
Now, if you're talking about somebody's name, then yeah, you can say that. Like Dick Cheney. Yeah, you could say that. You can say dick there. You can't say dick at the other part.
I was just quoting him. Sorry. He said, quote unquote, MJF is a dick rider for John Moxley. Quote unquote. Unquote. Quote.
Okay. Two times. Will we get a third? No.
Dick rider.
All right. Enough of this dick riding. All Four. Ego Ethan Page versus Eddie Kingston. Ego, all ego hits the ego's edge, gets the dub. He advances in the world title eliminator tournament. I feel like they do like four of these a year.
They do a lot.
Yeah. It's a world title eliminator.
And Moxley's had eliminator matches, so it's like add like five more people to that list.
Right?
I don't know.
Everybody's getting eliminated.
Is this their version of the champion contenders match? Is that what this is?
I think so.
I guess.
But WWE has dropped that, thankfully.
Pretty much.
I should bring it back. I'm a fan.
I hate it. Eddie Kingston, he should win all of his matches. I told you he should be the one that unseats MJF when he wins a title and he teases leaving WWE, but we're still a year from that, but
yeah,
I still have hope that Eddie Kingston could be the man.
I wanted Eddie to win really bad, but...
Love all honestly, ego. I'm a huge fan.
Honestly, watching that Avalanche Ego's help
edge,
yes, thank you. Watching that was pretty sick.
It's tight.
And at that point I was like, whoa,
it's tight.
Yeah, he gets the win.
Moving on from that, Ari Daivari versus Wardlow in a TNT open challenge. Wardlow decimates him, calls out Powerhouse Hobbs. Samoa Joe was at ringside for this match. Wardlow says, I'm taking all the championships in this company. Joe's like, and then smacks him with the Ring of Honor Television Championship. Samoa Joe, he's back!
But Samoa Joe doesn't hold a title in AEW.
Yeah, I know. We know that. But it might as well be because they're ran by the same dude.
You mean Ring of AEW?
God. All Elite Ring of Jericho? That's what this place is. Yeah, but anyway, Joe attacks him. Love it. Samoa Joe is doing Samoa Joe-ish. Powerhouse Hobbs said, man, I'll beat your ass too. Hey, have you seen that new Skin Bone? That new Skin Bone rap where he's talking about how he's going to beat everybody's ass?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I thought you were in the street. See, only people associated with the streets have seen that, Brandon.
It hasn't hit the Zoe yet.
Don't ever say that again. Ever say that again.
Maybe I got to peep in the haystack and see if it's in there.
Look, bro. Look. All right. I think Will Bird. Hobbs, I think the homie Hobbs is going to beat Wardlow and become the new TNT champion.
I can see that happening. I'd be really excited about that, actually. No lie, when they talked about this being the Wardlow Open Challenge thing, I didn't even catch Ari's name because I was so distracted by how jacked Wardlow looks. Like, he's been putting in the work.
He's might be on the same steroids you're on.
Not the same steroids that I'm on right now.
Oh. Well, maybe, you know, maybe he has like a walking pneumonia too, or maybe he's dealing with something.
Maybe. Wardlow's out here. He's jacked to the gills right now.
And he's natty. Of course he's natty.
Yes.
Because AEW has a very strict drug policy.
Sure they do.
That we all know about and very clear on.
But dude, Samoa Joe.
Love Joe.
Oh my gosh.
This is the Joe I love.
Yes.
Oh.
This is the Joe that we all know and love.
And then Saraya and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, they have a face-to-face. Saraya says she's 100% clear to wrestle. So, hey, I mean, this is cool. But, like, hey, like, she has to stop doing that. This is my house. Like, you just got here. You haven't proven that it's your house. We get it. You know, we get it.
You got to work the gimmicks in, brother.
Okay, but it doesn't make any sense.
Put it on a t-shirt.
It literally doesn't make any sense.
Any house she steps in is hers.
So if she steps in your house, that's her house.
Suddenly, yeah.
Yeah, if she yells it. If she yells, this is my house, then it's legally binding.
That's like me going on, like, Joe Rogan's podcast. This is my podcast! That's like me doing that. No. Makes no sense.
Well, once you get on there, Philip, let us know how that goes.
Well, I'm not going to record with Joe Rogan because he can't afford me. Anyway.
Why would you want to go on his podcast? No.
He's just the first name that popped into my head. But anyway, yeah. So they had a cute little back and forth. The point is they're going to wrestle each other. All right, cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's her first match back in years. We'll see.
Also, her promo had a lot of heart.
I mean, she's very good on the mic.
Talking about everything that she's gone through.
Look, I've been a fan of hers for years. I'm excited. We'll see. Trent Beretta versus Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal gets the dub. Jeff Jarrett comes out there, takes a jab at Braun Strowman, saying Satnam Singh isn't some giant wearing red skinny jeans. He calls out Sting and Darby Allin for a match at Full Gear. Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett versus Darby Allin and Sting.
And it's been announced. It was officially announced on AEW Dynamite that match is happening. So
in the year of our Lord 2022, Jeff Jarrett has wrestled in GCW, been involved in a little bit of a storyline in WWE, wrestled for Jim Crockett Promotions for Flair's last match, and is going to wrestle for AEW.
I mean,
could he be wrestling? Oh, this is great.
We need to get Jeff Jarrett's address. We can send him a casty.
The Last Outlaw, baby. Let's go.
This is going to be the match on Full Gear where they probably save it till later and we completely forget it's even on the card. And we're like, we have this Sting Jeff Jarrett match.
You're going to hear the My World theme song, which it's one of the best themes in wrestling, bro. Like, it's incredible. I love it. Moving on from that, Jungle Boy Jack Perry says he's going to appear on Rampage, you know, calls out Luchasaurus and Christian Cage, and this whole thing is still going on. Okay, woohoo.
Well, it's all Christian's fault for tearing a shoulder.
Look, man, it's okay. Once Christian and him actually have a real match, then it'll be over. Jon Moxley answers MJF's promo and comes out there with Sir Regal. You know, all the good stuff. Moxley saying MJF wears the suits as mommy buys him a JC panties. I was like, okay. Brandon, thoughts?
I mean, I like this promo more than MJF just because it is more, the Jon Moxley character is much more clear. So it's more understandable to see where he's coming from, what he's talking about. And he's kind of like what the average viewer probably is thinking, like, you know, MJF is saying all these things, but why are we going to believe him? And he's just, you know, running them down, talking crap. I quite enjoyed it. And just, you know, the dynamic of him and Regal, we don't see too much. So I thought that was fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Katie.
Completely agree. Love seeing the dynamic between William Regal and Jeff Moxley, or John Moxley. Where did that come from? Wow. I'm just really excited for this match. I can't wait to see what they pull out of their hats. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Lastly, oh no, I forgot. Jamie Hayter versus Sky Blue. Hayter wins. Then we get to a 2 out of 3 falls match. Brian
Danielson. That's all we can ask for.
Yep. Brian Danielson versus Sammy Guevara.
This was a match.
Yes, it was a match. I'm so used
to someone got hurt, and that's not what we can ask for.
Yes, I'm so used to calling him D-Bry, bro. Danielson gets the first win.
Call him Bry D.
I can't do that. Via disqualification. Because Guevara hit him on a steel chair. Second win goes to Guevara via pinfall. Third win, Danielson via tap out of the label lock. You love it. This was great, man. They were moving. Them boys was moving.
This was a banger of a match.
This was medium average sized men slapping meat.
Yes.
It doesn't work the same. It doesn't.
No.
No.
Average men bumping meat.
But it was an amazing match.
It was fun.
I was riveted. Like, it was so good. You sat there and you watched Bryan Danielson just get beat to hell. And Sammy was not letting up. And every single time Bryan Danielson was going to, you know, come back, Sammy would just beat him back down, and you were like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? So good. Also, Tay Mello getting ejected from ringside because she's like being herself. Loved it.
Yeah, Tay Mello had the Bullet Cast Twitter blowing up one day. Remember that, Brandon?
Shout out Tay Mello. Shout out Ty Conti.
Yes, yes, the former Ty Conti. But yeah, you know, because they're in a fatal four way or a four.
But if Brian beat Sammy 2 out of 3 falls, shouldn't that like take him out of the match?
No.
Like,
I don't know how AEW, like, they don't do like these type of matches often. Like, this is their first fatal four way, I think. So I don't know, bro.
I was going to say, like, they've done a bunch of 2 out of 3 falls matches. Yeah, I will say a little cheeky first fall, which I'll be okay. I'm okay with, but yeah, I mean, you can't do that every single one. Just have a regular match. One fall. Don't need extra gimmicks. I don't think a 2 out of 3 falls match is bringing in extra viewers.
I love 2 out of 3 falls matches. Yeah. Don't be surprised if you see a Bullet Cast heavyweight title 2 out of 3 falls match.
Ooh.
Loverboy Leo and Alpha Zone might be a 2 out of 3 falls match. We don't know. You gotta wait to find out. That's gonna do it for AEW.
I'll only like it if it goes 2 falls, not 3 falls.
That's gonna. What do you mean?
What?
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 What? Oh no! Oh no! We're not doing. No! That's going to do it. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back with some more content. I got a Dave Dutra interview I got to drop at some point in time.
Yeah.
And more. Yes, guys. Heads up, Oasis Pro. I know we were supposed to run on December 10th. We're going back to Vallejo, the Veterans Hall, December 9th. It is a Friday. Jacob Fatu, Danny Limelight, and more to be announced. You don't want to miss it. Last time we got Violent and Hythe in a V, and we running it back, baby. Thank you guys so much. Stay clean, stay strong, stay safe. Diamonds are forever. So is the microphone, Messiah. Hey, is it?